This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. In the ongoing political chaos after Britain's vote to leave the European Union, Conservative leader Boris Johnson made his splash. Mr. Johnson, who was expected to vie for the prime ministership, announced that he would not indeed be in the running to replace David Cameron. Meanwhile, fears over a rapid economic decline in the wake of a Brexit vote seem to be coming to pass, with the pound tumbling. Worse still, hate crimes against Muslim and Polish residents have skyrocketed. We had spoken about the Brexit vote with Liam O'Hare. He's a journalist with RT covering UK politics as well as the issues of asylum and migration. Welcome back to the program, Liam.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again.
So first, let's talk about Boris Johnson. He was a huge proponent of the Leave campaign, and he seems, like Nigel Farage of the UK Independence Party, he seems to have had exactly what he wished for come true. How does he explain that he doesn't actually want a leadership role in this new Britain free from the EU?
Well, some people are questioning whether Boris Johnson wanted to win the referendum at all. What has become quite evident is that this was a referendum that was largely dominated by a power struggle internally in the Conservative Party. And a lot of people, there's a lot of speculation now that Boris Johnson actually, in fact, thought that by leading the Leave campaign, he would put up a good fight, he would be seen as a valiant loser, after maybe the Leave campaign lost, as people expected it to lose, and that would leave him in the best position to succeed David Cameron in a kind of very, very safe continuity. Now, what's actually happened is that you've had a Leave vote, a Brexit, and everything that follows that, and I think Boris Johnson has maybe thought to himself, and certain people in the Conservative Party have thought, he's not the guy to lead these very complicated, turbulent negotiations. And I think that's why you've seen Boris Johnson step away from it. But there's a lot of anger just now in Britain because this has essentially been a referendum and a position that Britain's been put in because of David Cameron and Boris Johnson, who are university mates, who were in the same Bullingdon club at university, have put Britain in this situation. And now both of them are walking away scot-free with actually dealing with any of the responsibilities of dealing with the result of the referendum.
And so David Cameron's a very, very quick announcement that he would be stepping away as Prime Minister, but not till later in the year. Was that part of the sort of, get out of jail free card that these guys are trying to grab?
I think, to be honest, I think Cameron was as surprised as anybody at the result of the vote. And what he's decided, I think he had to step down, I think he had no other option but to step down, is that he will give his successor the best opportunity. Instead of handing it over straight away, they'll now have a couple of months to get into the role. And then that's when you'll see Article 50, which is the article within the EU regulations for a member state that wants to leave, that's when that will be triggered and the real negotiations are going to begin, the real complicated negotiations about Britain's exit from the European Union. So Cameron is obviously basically a sitting duck prime minister. He's got no power now whatsoever. It's just a matter of time before he leaves. And it's a very, very strange situation in British politics because what you're seeing is a complete lack of leadership, possibly at a time where Britain needs leadership more than any other time, some people are saying, since the Second World War.
And do you feel that there is this kind of general massive fear that the politicians are feeling because they don't really know what comes next? They don't really know what to do, how to usher Britain out of the EU, how to define Britain's role out of the EU, and that no one's sort of willing to lead that ship because that ship could be sinking.
Absolutely. This is an unprecedented situation. I think the impact of what has happened has not yet been felt. I think the fact is that there has been no plan made, incredibly, no plan made by the Leavers and by the Brexiteers, as they've been called, as to what they'll actually do in the event of a Leave vote. So what you're seeing now is a period of complete political uncertainty where nobody quite knows what negotiation position to take. Nobody quite knows how this process has worked because it's unprecedented in the sense that no state has ever left the European Union before. So it is a great time of flux just now in British politics. I think when I spoke to you last thing we spoke as well about the Scottish question, the Scottish leader Nicola Sturgeon, the leader of the SNP, has been made it very clear that a second referendum on Scottish independence could well be a consequence of this. So everything is in flux, right up to the very fundamentals of the British state could be shaken apart by this referendum. And like I say, at this minute, nobody seems to have a plan. You'd have to laugh or else you'd cry at the desperation of the situation.
Wow, and Scotland voted overwhelmingly to remain with the EU. Let's talk about the economic situation. Of course, this has economic elites very, very frightened. London being one of the financial centres of the world and also of the EU, but located bang within Britain, in the heart of England. Are there plans for there to be some kind of special arrangement to preserve London's status in the meantime? Of course, how will the country deal with the falling pound?
I think, again, this is yet to be determined. I think what you've seen from those campaigning for leave is that they want to leave behind the things they don't like about the European Union, such as the freedom of movement of people and certain regulations. But they want to keep the best bits and the special status that the UK already had a special status within the European Union. Are they going to get that? I don't think so, because there's states within the European Union who will be worried about rising nationalist movements within their own states, such as in France with the National Front, and they will want to make sure that it's seen that a state that leaves the European Union has to face the consequences, and they're not going to get an easy time. So I think there's a lot of very optimistic thinking from those Leave campaigners about the sort of deal that Britain might get, whether that be on, like I say, on freedom of movement or on access to the single market, which of course underpins a large part of the British economy as it stands just now. But in actual fact, I think the reality is that Britain is going to have to face some very difficult times economically, definitely in the short term, because of the result of the uncertainty caused by this vote. So it remains to be seen, but I think the consequences are going to be grave. I think the consequences undoubtedly will be felt again by the poorest in society. Many of the people who have voted for Brexit hoping for change, I think in actual fact we'll see that they've had false promises made to them by the leaders of the Leave campaign, and they'll be the ones, unfortunately, who are made to pay yet again by the recklessness of the British establishment.
Right. I mean, we covered, in fact, just the day after the Brexit vote, Nigel Farage going back on the promise of the EU fees being diverted to the National Health Service. Let's talk about the social impact in the streets, in the, in the buses and trams, hate crimes and verbal abuse, particularly against people seen as foreigners, have skyrocketed, not just people seen as Muslims or from Middle Eastern countries, but also Polish residents. Can you give us a sense of what's happening?
It's quite scary. What you've seen is you've seen attacks on Polish community centres.
And why Polish, by the way?
Sorry?
Why are the Polish a target?
Well, there's been a very large Polish immigrant community into the UK over the past number of years. So you've seen a lot of racism directed towards Polish people in the UK. These are people that come, that work very hard, that pay their taxes, that have made a great impact onto the British economy. Yet there's been this kind of backlash against them. So there's no doubt that you're seeing right across Europe at the minute a real kind of tide of racism against migrants. But in particular, in Britain at this point, you've seen a wave of attacks against things on social media, such as racism on buses against people. So the worrying thing is that this vote to leave has given confidence to the anti-immigrant tendency and the real racist tendencies within the UK. And that's a real worrying factor at this minute. within British politics.
Right, there was a video of two young boys screaming and yelling at a person with brown skin, possibly even an American, I think, telling him to go back to Africa. And he retorted that he'd been in the country longer than they had, because I think they were like 16 or something like that. And that video has gone viral and really kind of become a symbol of what Brexit has meant. Do you feel overall, Liam, finally, that Britain's reputation is really fallen dramatically, that Britain's kind of sadly become the laughingstock of the world because of this vote? I mean, now the Americans, because of our support for Donald Trump, have been pushed from first place.
I think that's possible, but like I saw someone say, America still has the Trump card to play. So that's yet to be determined. I think America could yet retain top spot, if you like. But no, I think you're absolutely right. I think at a time where you need global solutions to the problems such as the refugee crisis, such as obviously problems around security, etc., about climate change, around world poverty, what you're seeing is Britain actually closing its doors and really taking a choice to go down towards isolationism. And this is not something that should, this is not a cohesive decision. This is not a decision that I think is of any real credence and should have any real credence in terms of the way we need to challenge these global issues. So I think it's a worrying precedent. I think hopefully, you never know, this might, things might turn out a different way for Britain. But at this minute, what you're seeing is economic uncertainty. You're seeing a rise in hostility towards immigrants, a rise in racism, and a rising political right. So I think it's a very difficult time for Britain at this point. There's a lot of people very disappointed by the result, and people are desperately seeking leadership on this. And at the minute, there's a complete void of that in the British state. So if people are laughing at Britain from abroad, they're probably right to be laughing at the state of it. But there's a lot of people here who aren't finding it very funny.
Well, finally, is it kind of a bizarre question to be asking for Brexit to possibly be reversed? I know that if you set aside the racist responses, the racist who've been emboldened by this vote, there's been some indication that there is remorse, that people have called into polling centers saying, can I change my vote? John Kerry said on Thursday that it's possible to for the UK to walk back Brexit, that it's possibly it's something that might be reversed. Is it too late, or is there a possibility to reverse this? And if it is reversed, isn't that going to inspire rage among those people that Nigel Farage leads?
Exactly. I think it would be a very, very dangerous move if you were to reverse this, because at the end of the day, it has been a democratic decision made, and it was a decision made by a lot of anger in the first place. So if that democratic decision were to be ignored, and shut up by the political elites in Westminster, I think that is only going to lead to a further rise in anger and a further rise in splinter within British society. So I think, is there a possibility that you could see a second referendum some point down the line if certain things happen, if the economy crashes further, if you see perhaps hundreds of thousands of jobs go? Would a second referendum then be inconceivable? No, I don't think it would. But at this juncture, I think the first thing is that the result has to be respected, and I very much doubt that a second referendum is going to be on the table anytime soon.
Liam, I want to thank you so much for spending this time with us and following up on the story, and good luck to you with your work.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Liam O'Hare is a journalist with RT covering UK politics, as well as the issues in particular of asylum and migration. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.